Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome, everyone, to this episode titled Leadership Florida. In 1982, the Florida Chamber of Commerce started Leadership Florida, where it has now grown to over 1,800 members who are committed to the mission of working together for a better Florida. And today I'm going to have on the podcast Leadership Florida's Vice President of Programs and Planning and a very dear friend, Abby Stewart. I first met Abby over a decade ago when she was with Florida's Department of Education, and immediately it was clear that we both shared a deep belief that all students deserve access to great teaching, and that's one of the best ways in which they will have successful outcomes in their education. While her career at Leadership Florida reaches far beyond education now, it's something that I think she holds near and dear to her heart, and we've been able to continue to have that camaraderie and that wonderful spirit and love for teaching because I'm serving right now as the co-chair for the education class, and that is something that I think maybe Abby has a little bit of a bias for, and certainly we want to hear from her today. So Abby, welcome to Education Conversations.
I'm so glad to be here, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And is it true you're biased?
A little biased.
Yeah, I'm going to say, because the education topics, those are really important and valuable, wouldn't you say?
It does. The education class feels like I am at home.
So yeah.
It's a special addition to Leadership Florida.
Oh, I think that when you've added so much value to it, for sure. But let's go back to your start. Did you start off wanting to become a teacher? What was your background?
I did not. So I came to FSU 20 plus years ago and went to school as a dietetics major. And I was an athlete, thought I wanted to go into sports or maybe into the hospital setting. And sometimes life happens just the way it's supposed to, unexpectedly, and you end up exactly where you're supposed to be. But I had a Tuesday-Thursday class. It was the first class where I was going to have my first small internship in my dietetics program. And as the person that never gets sick, I happened to be sick that Tuesday, which was the day that you were getting to select where you would do your internship. So when I came back to class on Thursday, all the spots that I thought I wanted had already been selected. And I ended up doing a dietetics internship at a local school, very high needs Title I school. And my first day at this internship was on a Monday morning. And we can have big conversation about school meals, quality of school meals, but for our kids that are most vulnerable and who rely on school nutrition programs, it's a lifeline. Mm-hmm. And Monday morning in a cafeteria for students who may not have had a full meal over the weekend is a special place. And something lit a fire underneath me. And that Monday morning, to see students who really wanted to be at school, and the school cafeteria on a Monday morning was their lifeline. They were so happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And it created an opportunity for them that meant that they could go to their classroom and be ready to learn. And that was really my initial spark into the education space.
How wonderful is that? Oh my gosh. And so then did you go back to FSU and change your major right away? Or
I didn't. I actually stayed that track, and I spent the first half of my career at DOE, at the Department of Education, because that's where the school meals programs were housed at the state level, and did that work for quite some time. At some point along the journey, when Commissioner Adam Putnam became commissioner over agriculture, our whole office actually picked up and moved from education to agriculture, the Department of Agriculture. And at that time, I was really leading some of our farm-to-school, school nutrition, education, and outreach. And so spending a lot of time in schools, less time kind of on the school meal side, but really in that education space and allowing kids to understand kind of access to school nutrition programs and farming and creating those spaces for students to learn, and loved it. And so at some point then I made the decision, I took a few classes, I applied for a job as the recruitment coordinator at the Florida Department of Education, because I felt like it was a way back into education without having had that solid education background.
Right.
And that was my first job back at the Florida Department of Education, where I then spent 10 years really focused on great teaching.
Yes, that's so amazing. That's a great story. I didn't even realize the through line that actually came from your early studies and then having that happenstance, if you will, occurrence that really took you on a totally different trajectory.
Totally different.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So speak to me about when you were then in the DOE and you were overseeing teacher quality programs, what were some of the things that really stood out to you about why teachers are so valuable?
Sure. So my first day back at the Department of Education, kind of in that educator quality space, was also Brian Dassler's first day at the Florida Department of Education as a Deputy Chancellor for Educator Quality. Brian Dassler was a Leadership Florida member, and every day he pushed us to focus not on what the adults needed, but on what the students needed. And when you put students first, you end up supporting the adults in the space too.
Right.
And so, yeah, the work around great teaching and making sure that every student, no matter what school they are in, has access every day to a great teacher became the work that I was focused on every day at the Department of Education, and focused on making sure teachers were prepared. Today, teachers come to us from all different routes, traditional routes. So making sure that all of the preparation routes were focused on quality and getting prepared teachers in the classroom quickly was a big portion of the work that I did. Recognizing great teaching is really important. We want our teachers to feel valued and like they have a network around them of support so that they can continue learning, making sure that our principals had the support they needed so that they could support great teachers. So all the way through the system, making sure that everybody in the system has what they need, most importantly, so that the students have what they need. They're always a focus on kids.
For those listeners who may disassociate the DOE as this very large institution, and how it actually connects back and creates networks and it works with teachers, like illuminate how you make that connectivity happen, because I've seen it from the work that you did and I know it's real, but I also recognize that when you're in a classroom and then you see the DOE, sometimes it can feel distant and far off.
I always felt like I had the best job at the Florida Department of Education because our work was so focused on that connectivity with teachers and principals. I'll give you a good example. Many years ago, we started a program there, and there are multiple examples of programs like this that the department has created and continues to support. But I'll give you an example of a program we created called the High Impact Teacher Corps, where we identified some of our highest impact teachers across the state in our most struggling schools. And you often think about our most struggling schools that there are less great teachers. That's not necessarily the case. But some of those environments are very hard to work in. And so this idea was to create a program where we could connect great teachers from our most struggling schools with other great teachers that serve in similar contexts and similar situations so that they could create a network of support, to feel valued, to feel appreciated, to feel like the work that they were doing mattered. So that was the first goal, right? Recognize and celebrate not just our Teachers of the Year, which I love to do as well, but oftentimes teachers from schools that don't get the recognition because there's such urgent needs all the time that our best teachers in those schools often don't get recognized. So the first goal was just, let's recognize that good work. And when you're recognized and appreciated for the work, you're more likely to stay.
Right.
So there was a secondary goal of keeping those teachers in those spaces and in those schools so that we could expand their impact over time. But the work that we did when we brought them together was really about developing their own teacher leadership skills. I think oftentimes our great teachers, especially in really hard places, they do their work, they close their door. Mm-hmm. And the idea was for them to open their doors real wide and take on supporting additional teachers in their school. But you can't ask teachers to do that without helping them develop those skills. And so this program was really focused on developing those adult learning, teacher leadership skills, so that when another teacher down the hallway came and asked for help, they actually had the tools to be able to help that teacher overcome whatever challenges mm-hmm. they were facing and not have to do it in mm-hmm. isolation. And it's been such a success. I think the department's on year 8 or 9, wow. the cohort. And if you look at the data, those teachers are staying longer and they're supporting other teachers and the outcomes for those other teachers are improving. And it is how you create that change that you want to see so that students have access to great teaching.
For sure. And that's so great that you all are, the DOE, I shouldn't say you all because you're now with Leadership Florida, but that it's seeing that level of success, because in an average school, not a struggling school, not a Title I school, in just if you took an average, that the retention really is that half of the teachers turn over within 5 years. So you take a struggling school, a Title I school, more difficult circumstances, youth barriers that the kids are facing, the turnover is even higher. So this is really coming in and proving to keep those great teachers in place and expanding their knowledge.
Yeah, and I think some of the work at the department was to build models like that, that then school districts could use to replicate. The department, it is this big entity. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people, a lot of students, a lot of teachers in the state. And so it is hard. You feel if you are not one of the teachers that has access to one of the programs that the department is providing in that way, it can feel like this bureaucratic system that mm-hmm. is so far away. But the department has done a lot of work to get closer to teachers, whether that's with civics instructions. I just saw last mm-hmm. week that they brought 50 civics teachers to the Capitol to have an immersive experience to take back to their students, to their district. So there's a variety of programs like that to get closer to the educator, and then to create models that districts or systems or charter organizations can use to then take back and expand upon. The department built a similar program around teacher leadership for Florida's District Teachers of the Year, mm-hmm. which oftentimes, right, our District Teachers of the Year are recognized and celebrated, not the same issues I was talking about on the high impact. But then once they become the District Teacher of the Year, they're looked at as the model teacher. And they may be great with kids, but they may not have those adult learning skills to help other teachers right. to become better. And so the idea was to equip teachers with those tools to be able to expand their impact. So there's examples of that. What we've seen with the teacher leadership work around the Teachers of the Year is that many districts now have gone back and built similar programs to scale up that model.
But certainly you, when you were in that position, were an inspiration to us at the Education Foundation of Sarasota County as we were expanding and doing teacher leadership work, because we too saw the benefits of creating that collaborative network and allowing them to learn and grow within each other. We've certainly brought it down in our own foundation level. So that's been terrific. So now fast forward to the present, because you took all those skills and experience that you learned through your early part of your career and at the DOE, and now you're at Leadership Florida and you're overseeing all of the different programs. And so what is the area of focus for Leadership Florida, and what do you feel like you're really charged with driving and growing?
So this is the dream job, I think. I'm a member of Leadership Florida, which is very helpful when you walk into an organization and are leading programmatic work, to have been through the program. And as a class member, I was really impressed with Leadership Florida as an organization. So I am leading all 4 class programs that Leadership Florida offers, and they're all a little bit different. You mentioned that Leadership Florida has been around since the 80s, and that really is our, what we now call our cornerstone program. For CEOs, C-suite level, a group of peers 40 and over, have a similar program we call the Connect program. It's newer for class members that are 25 to 39. And their content is super diverse. So when you think about Leadership Florida, it is not just a leadership development program. I think about 20% of the content would be personal leadership growth if I think about splitting it up. 80% is about being a better Florida citizen and understanding this great state that we live in. And so in those two classes, the content can range from education to transportation to government to healthcare, all those big topics, housing, things that impact Florida as a state. And the more knowledgeable you are and bringing a cohort of people together from all across the state that is diverse based on gender, race, organization, geography, makes us a smaller state, and therefore we can work for a better Florida. We also have an executive program that we run every 3 years, which is an invitation only. The other programs, you apply and then are accepted mm-hmm. and invited to apply or to participate. We run that every 3 years, and it's kind of the best of Leadership Florida in a weekend for mm-hmm. very high-level CEOs that may not have the time to commit to a year-long cohort. Right. The education class is modeled very much after the Cornerstone and Connect program and trying to create those diverse experiences. However, the content is mostly education focused, right. Some personal leadership development as well, but the content, the speakers we bring in are all education focused. But it is unlike any of those other education programs that I talked about earlier. And I think it's the beauty and the magic of Leadership Florida is oftentimes we make decisions about what's happening in a classroom without a teacher at the table. We're doing better at that, but sometimes that is what happens. We're making decisions without all of the stakeholders at the table. And the beauty of the Leadership Florida education class is that everybody is at the table at one time. And so it's this beautiful mix of education professionals from district leaders, charter school organizations, teachers, principals, administrators, maybe coaches, those from education foundations, the nonprofit space, the education organizations that support educators. So whether that's an Impact Florida or a right. TNTP or a Teach for America, and funders. So brings a network of people together from early learning all the way through post-secondary education. And the content, I think, is pushing us to think differently about education and what might be possible if we're going to do education better. But the real magic is the conversation that happens when you have a teacher, a principal, and a funder sitting at a table having a conversation. It's the after-hours conversation that happens when somebody has an idea and you have all the people that could potentially make that idea possible. And the network of support that happens when you bring this mix of people together from all over the state that are all focused on creating the best education system in Florida. So it's really special.
Yeah, I agree. And from just my vantage point, I too participated in it. And then now just co-leading it, being able to see the diversity of the class, but all having that shared goal of wanting to see students, you know, have better outcomes, and doing it in their own individual ways, but for kind of the collective good, has been really energizing and inspiring. So for those people who may have an interest in being a part of Leadership Florida, and certainly we're going to always have the bias for those participating in the education class, are there specific qualities or criteria or things that you all look for in those potential participants so that anyone that's listening today may have a little bit of an opportunity to better understand how they can get involved?
Absolutely. So I think across the board in all of the programs, there is an interest in finding people who think Florida is the best place to live, work, and play, and who have an interest in continuing to make it better in whatever context that is. Mm-hmm. That Florida is a pretty special place to be, and we have this opportunity as a network to continue to make it better. And it's about the people. Mm-hmm. So I think in all three classes, that would be the first and most important thing, that wherever you sit, that you feel like you have the possibility of making your space and ultimately your community, your city, your county, and our state better, mm-hmm. based on whatever it is that you're committed to. From there, in between the different programs, there may be other things in the cornerstone. For example, we are trying to create a network of peers. So you're looking for a CEO C-suite level so that there's a peer network, so that right. you have a group that is trying to solve for the same problems with some of the same situations. In the Connect program, it can be rising leaders from all those spaces. The Connect class is super impressive. You have yeah. elected officials and CEOs in that group, but you could also have a rising leader. There is less requirement mm-hmm. that it is a CEO position. From the education space, we want people that feel like they have the ability to create change. So anywhere in the education space, and sometimes I hear from a teacher, but I'm just a teacher.
Yes.
But from your classroom, you have the opportunity to create space and you have a voice. And so I want folks in that class that feel like they have the opportunity or willing to do the work to create change in their own context, and will bridge outside of the four walls of their building, because I think there's so much opportunity for us to grow and to continue to do better for kids. And when we can learn together, there is great opportunity. So that's what I would say you're looking for.
Yep.
Process-wise, especially in the fall, Leadership Florida will do a series of recruitment events and things like that. Get to know other Leadership Florida members. It's actually a requirement. People ask us every year, how do you create the magic? How does the class each year get better than the last year? And it's about our members. Our members are helping to recruit great people right. from their communities to Leadership Florida. It's super competitive. We have hundreds of applications across the programs every year, but we want to find the right people. And so if you are not connected to somebody that is connected to Leadership Florida, start thinking about how you could get involved in your community, because in every community, there are great Leadership Florida members that could help you start to get connected so that when the applications open, yep. you are aware of the process.
That is so helpful. And I really do hope that folks that are listening in will take the time to look at the timelines and everything, because it runs every year and the cycle, and getting involved in Leadership Florida truly can be transformative, I would say. So just a final note back to the education class. Are you seeing any pressing challenges that the educators of today are trying to address? You know, what are the things that you think are most top of mind for them?
Education can be a hard place. We're sitting in a place and time where there's a lot of great work happening. And you see that at our local communities, and you see some things moving in the right direction. Florida has invested over $1 billion in teacher salaries. And yet, it's a really hard space to sit in. And so I think teachers and educators and principals and superintendents are trying to figure out what happens next. We're in a place and time with AI and technology and changing perspectives that I think we are going to hit this space about how do we do education into the future. We've been talking about that mm-hmm. for a long sure time, have. But we are at this place and time where it feels like it's bubbling, and that creates uncertainty. What does it look like if the model looks different? And I think that's the biggest wrestle. There are the challenges and opportunities that have been around for a long time. How do we staff every classroom? How do we make sure people still want to go into the teaching profession? How do we make sure that people are cared for? How do we make sure that our students have what we need? Those questions have gone on and on and on, and I think we've done some things better, and we can continue to wrestle it. But I think we're at a moment in time where people are wrestling with, what does education look like in the future? What does it mean? And how do we do that in a way where all of our students get what they need? How do we make sure that parents have choice? How do we make sure that we are really educating our kids for the future when you have so many tools but how do we use them responsibly? And how do we make sure that we are creating students that are prepared for the next generation? I think that's the big question.
Yeah.
And I think the question means we have to look at things differently and how we staff classrooms and what it means for a teacher. I think we're on the edge of not just doing the same things in a different way, but how do we look at the system differently? And I don't know what's to come, but I do think that our Leadership Florida education classes are wrestling with those, and we are better for having those conversations together.
Yeah. Oh, well said, Abby, because I agree with you. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And we are having those conversations with the class and the cohort. And to the degree that there is a high level of uncertainty, there is also so much opportunity in front of us to make something really great. So I'm excited about it. I don't know about you, but I'm excited.
It excites me every day.
Yeah.
I think there is so much possibility. And it goes back to those same students that were excited for breakfast on that Monday morning. If we think about it differently, there is a real opportunity for every kid to have access to the opportunity that they deserve.
Oh, gosh. Abby, I'm so glad you're a part of today's podcast. Thank you so much. And by the way, for those folks listening, we actually are recording this at the Leadership Florida office. And so when you see her picture come out and everything, just know that it's the backdrop of her office of where she does all of her great work. And if you want to learn more about Leadership Florida, you can certainly visit their website at leadershipflorida.org. We always welcome people to check out the Education Foundation's website at edfoundationsrq.org. Abby, thank you again for being a part of today's podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It was really wonderful. And thanks to all of you listeners for tuning in. It's great to have you. We always want to hear what you like and what you want to know more about. And wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, you will certainly find us. And so for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.